Thank you. It is a real joy, a blessing, a privilege, and an honor to be able to be here another Sunday morning. We're thankful for the Lord's mercy, His compassion, His understanding, and His infinite wisdom. And again, saving a sinner such as myself and giving me the free gift of eternal life, everlasting life. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. He's the Savior of all mankind. Went on to say, and especially to them that believe. Now, the all mankind, meaning everybody's a sinner. Everybody's found guilty before God. But it's the unrighteous, no, not one. We've all like sheep gone astray. But the Lord has laid the iniquity of us all upon Him. And by His stripes only can you be healed. He's the healing balm, the chief physician. He's a Savior of all mankind. And went on to say, therein, especially to them that believe. He became personal to them. And they accepted Him. They repented of their sins. And He washed them and cleansed them in His own blood. Sanctified them, qualified and justified them. And placed their name in the Lamb's Book of Life, never to be blotted out. What a great salvation. What a wonderful Savior that is. He's able to save to the uttermost. And I say right on down to the guttermost. There is no restraint with the Lord to save by many or by few. Our God is well able to save. And He will save. But He doesn't force anybody. He doesn't make anybody. He didn't come to condemn the world. The world was condemned already. He came to bring salvation to a lost and a dying group of people. All of us are sinners. All have sinned. All have come short of the glory of God. Not a righteous man. Not a just man upon all the face of the earth. All we like sheep have gone astray. But the Lord Jesus has laid the iniquity of us all upon Him. And by His stripes only can you be healed. He's the healing balm. He's the chief physician. And believe He's got the answer to your problems. He's a refuge. He's a strong and mighty and a high tower. And believe if you'll flee to Him and come to Him and come with that sacrifice, the only thing He can accept on your behalf is a broke heart and a contrite spirit. There's a sacrifice that God cannot and will not reject nor despise. Believe Him. He'll accept you into the beloved. He'll cleanse you, sanctify you, qualify you, justify you, and give you without price, without money, a drink out of a well of living water. And I'll guarantee you, you'll never thirst again. And I was just thinking before I started this little broadcast tape that I'm making, I was thinking about how awful, how pitiful, how terrible it is for this young generation who's raised up in of course, a society so corrupt, so rotten, so wretched, so vile, so wicked and ungodly. God have mercy on them. It's, I feel really sorrowful for them. Brother, they're victims of society. They have no perennial guidance. Their parents don't care enough to make them behave and see about what they're doing and where they're going and keep them all the different kind of things. You just let them turn them loose. They don't want to get too involved. Them because they think it takes too much of their time. God have mercy. They're pitiful and they need help. And then these so-called churches, God have mercy, their community clubhouse. That's all they are, where they eat, drink, and be merry. And beloved, they do everything in the world but what they're supposed to do, and that's preach the gospel in sincerity and in truth and labor and work and try to get those that are not saved in there where they can get on the good news of the glorious gospel of Christ, that they might be converted and born again. But there's no real genuine preaching going on, hardly any at all. Not many places where you can go into what's supposed to be a church, and where the ministers up there, the pastor, the so-called pastor, the preacher, the bishop, that such as it may be, is speaking and preaching and teaching the good word of God in sincerity and in truth. They're not in truth. They're not of God. They're the wicked one, the devil. They're hirelings. They're wolves in sheep clothing. They're fairy tale preachers. They're tickling the ears of the congregation, flattering them, and got a little bit of joke to go along with it to get their humor up, and then tell them all kind of fictitious things or things about this or that and everything else in the world. But Jesus said, you must repent. You've got to be born again. If you don't repent, you're going to go to hell. They don't do anything like that. They speak all these flattering words, enticing words of man's wisdom, which man's wisdom teaches. But they're not interested. And people get saved, because if folk were to get saved, then they would be exposed themselves. They would see them for what they are, apostates, ungodly, abominable, the people that's not converted, not saved. Just a bunch of wolves, a bunch of hirelings, a bunch of wolves in sheep clothing. But I bet the Bible said the Lord knoweth them that are His. Thank God, I'm glad He knows all about everything. He knows all His dear children. He knows everyone that He's saved and washed in His precious blood. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible said any man without the Spirit of Christ is none of his. You can't be saved and born again and not have the Holy Spirit in you, God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He will get alive in you when He's saved. You're baptized into the body of Christ. We're not talking about water baptism. We're talking about the spiritual baptism. The Bible said, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. The spiritual baptism, though when it happens to you, transforms you, changes you, quickens you, thank God, and makes you alive. I mean, He gets alive in you. He said, ye who were dead in trespasses and sin, you have to be quickened and made alive. He makes you alive. He gets alive in you, God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and beloved, you're never the same. I say many a time, I'll say again this morning, I'm so glad, thank God that Jesus found me for the Baptist den. Now, I'm a Baptist pastor, Baptist preacher, beloved, and I believe in the doctrine of the Baptist church because it's biblical, it's scriptural, it's fundamental, beloved, it's sound and it's solid. And most Baptists need a dose of salvation. They get on the sound of the good old boys and those that talk about a little bit about saved and things of that nature, but they don't really preach. They just flatter the people. They're in there talking about the Word of God, and it's not. It don't have any power in it, beloved, because they're not real. They're not sincere. They're not genuine. But I'm glad, thank God, the Bible says the Lord knoweth them that are His, that every man that named the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But when he gets saved, he does something on the inside, changes the outside. That's what he meant when he said, therefore, if any person be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things pass away, all things become new to you when you get converted, saved, and born again. Thank God there's a reality in having your sins forgiven and being born of a new nature, divine nature, God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. When it happens, I'll guarantee you there'll be an automatic turnaround, an automatic change in your life. And if that's never happened to you, it's evident you're not saved. The Bible said, therefore, if any person be in Christ, they're new creatures, old things pass away, all things become new, beloved, to you, newness of life. I mean, the old man was crucified. When I got saved, when I died to myself and gave up myself, beloved, and I was baptized into the body of Christ by spiritual baptism, He got alive in me. He transformed me, changed me, He quickened me, and made me alive. And of course, gave me the free gift of eternal life. And then I was a new creature. I mean, the old bad habits I'd run in and was partaking of as a young man, beloved, I didn't have a desire to do that any longer. Something happened on the inside. It changed the outside. My thinking was different. My walk was different. My thought was different. My life was different. Instead of running away from the church, I started running too, beloved. I preach a lot of times. I beat the housekeeper there. Me and my little old group of young'uns, I had 7 of them, 21, 23 now grandchildren. And beloved, I tell you what, when I got saved, I quit running from and started running to. And I beat the housekeeper there most times with my little old group of young'uns. Beloved, I never missed a meeting. I loved everything that God had for me, beloved. I was there 4 or 5 times a week, beloved. I wasn't there to serve anybody or make anybody happy with my life. I was already happy. I was there to serve the Lord Jesus. Oh, how good it was. It's still good. It's been 47 wonderful years. 47 wonderful years. Now, I've not endured it, right, God? I've enjoyed it. What a blessing. What a joy. What an honor. What a privilege it is to know Him as my personal Savior. I had a praying mother that labored over me and my brothers. And, beloved, all of us saved but one. And He will be, beloved, before it's all said and done. He knows what He needs to do. And He'll be there. Of course, you don't talk people into salvation. You don't push people into it. Beloved, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. You cannot help anybody if the Lord don't do the help. If the Lord don't do the work, the Bible said, if he don't do it, your labor's in vain. If the Lord don't keep the city, the watchman waking but in vain. The Lord Himself, beloved, must deal with them. And of course, He can and will deal with them through our lives. Our lives are living epistles known and read by all men. But He's got to work in us and work out of us. Beloved, He's got to use us as an instrument, as a vessel of mercy and a vessel of praise and honor and glory. We must magnify the Lord. God help us to live godly, sober, and righteously in this present world today, looking forward to the glorious appearing of the great God our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then my brother said, somebody talking about going to church, he said, when I go to church, he said, it'll be at Gerald's church. Well, I don't have a church, but I'm a pastor of a church. The church belongs in, but he meant it'd be where I pastor, where I preach.
and I'm looking for him, all of his family, to get saved. God saves souls, beloved, saves sinners, and I know that I fit that category. I was a vile sinner, beloved, but I want to tell you something. I believe in household salvation. If we're faithful, God is faithful, and reward of them that diligently seek him. God will save souls. It does save souls, and going to continue to save souls, but if you're saved, then listen to my voice, beloved. You are, and I am this morning. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're laborers. God help us to labor while we've got life, while we've got time. But even the time of the days are evil. It's going to get worse and worse and worse in these last days of apostasy and pretense and violence and lewdness and nakedness and corruption. And God have mercy. All these horrible things, beloved, are getting worse, like the Lord Jesus said that they would. He said, evil men would wax worse and worse, deceiving one another. They themselves also are deceived. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate minds, ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Be said to be children, be disobedient, their parents unthankful and unholy, truth breakers, heady, high minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We're living in dangerous, perilous times. God have mercy, beloved. Going to get worse and worse and worse in these last days of preaching and apostasy, and there's not hardly any real preaching going on. No one. The society is so sick. We got a lot of religious lost church members. I would that God they were saved. I'm not opposed to them and their souls and being saved, but I am opposed to wickedness and blood and pretense and apostasy, all the things that they're carrying on. They're not feeding the crowds the gospel. They're feeding them everything else. Foolishness, folly, everything you can think of, beloved. But no genuine preacher coming from the pulpit. And the blind cannot lead the blind. They're going to all fall into the ditch. And listen to me. Perilous, dangerous times are upon us, and it will not get better. It'll get worse and worse and worse and worse in these last days of apostasy in which we live. Jesus, I believe, is coming real soon. The song said, morning, night, or noon, many will meet their doom. Trumpets will sound. Listen to me. The dead in Christ will get up. That's the redeemed. All of us been saved. Let this die in him. Their body will get up. A body resurrection. We which shall all be called up. Thank God. Changed and meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. What a glorious daybreak that'll be when Jesus comes. He'll come, beloved. Given upon the mountain, Solomon said, leave it upon the hill. The voice of our beloved will come. Yes, sir, he will come. And he'll come back, beloved, in a cloud and a trumpet of sound. And the dead will get up. And we which shall all be called up and changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a glorious daybreak that'll be. But till it comes, God help us to do the best we can, labor while we can, redeeming the time for the days of evil. And beloved, it's not going to get any better. Violence is over all the face of the earth. That's what he said. Newness and nakedness and homosexuality, sodomites, and homosexual, beloved, is a sign of his coming. It's not natural, it's unnatural, and there's hope for them. The Bible said, Paul said, and such were some of you. It's sinful, beloved. It's always been sin, it always will be sin, beloved, and God's not changing his Bible. It's against nature, it's not the unpardonable sin. They can get forgiveness for their sin, beloved, if they'll repent of it and get out of it. Everybody has a problem with sin, beloved. That's not all that people have sin. We all have problems with sin. Jesus died for sin, but you must repent. If you don't repent, you'll perish. Now see, my time just about gone. Write to us, pray for us, and God bless you. So I pray in his name. Amen.